KPFT. You help KPFT provide great programming, and you get a tax receipt. Call 855-KPFT-CAR. That's 855-573-8227 or online at kpft.org.
You're listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Good evening and welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig here on KPFT 90.1 FM. We should have an interesting show tonight. I have three members of Move to Amend, and we're going to be talking about corporate personhood, money is speech, Supreme Court decisions, and what kinds of proposals are in the pipeline on both the congressional and the state level to try to perhaps rectify or moderate those decisions. We will take phone calls a little while into the show, so if you want to be first in line, the phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. My guests tonight are members of the local chapter of Move to Amend. I've got Michael Badziak, who is a Badziak?
Correct. Thank you.
I'm now patting myself on the back. Founding member of one of the founding members of the Houston area Move to Amend. He has been involved in a lot of public service, VISTA, Peace Corps, and spent 2 days at the 2004 Texas Republican State Convention, for which he must get some karmic justice.
It was great. I loved it.
You know, I once had an invitation to go to, I think it was the 1992 Republican Convention, the National Convention here in Houston, and I just couldn't get myself to do it. I was just afraid I would get into an argument with somebody and it would get ugly. So I just decided discretion, valor, that kind of thing. My second guest is Ben Ball. He's a retired executive from Gulf Oil. He has spent, he's got degrees from MIT and Harvard, and he's done a lot of testimony before federal court cases and before Congress and the United Nations, and a very interesting character. And I've got Madeline Crozat Williams.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow,
thank you.
Batting 1,000. She is also a founding member of Houston Move to Amend, and we're going to be talking about what's going on now in the movement to try to, if I guess it's become considered necessary to amend the Constitution. It'll be what, the 28th Amendment?
Correct.
So the 28th Amendment. Now, keep in mind, the state of Texas has 200 and some constitutional amendments. So the bar for the U.S. Constitution is pretty high.
Right. But now, it's been done.
Well, 27 other times. Yes. Well, 17 other times if you don't count the first 10.
Well, by the way, you said it's the bar is pretty high, but since the Constitution was written and approved, we've had 27 amendments in 250 years.
17, because the first 10 were approved with the original Constitution.
We now have 27 amendments.
Yes.
Including all 27 of them.
True.
And the point is, that's an amendment every 8.5 years or so.
Do you know how many amendments have been offered in Congress just in the last 2 years, the last two Congresses? I counted. Just on on this sort of related matter of funding and corporations, 32. Just in the last two Congresses, 32 constitutional amendments have been proposed dealing with one or another aspect of Citizens United, and I guess now coming up to Hobby Lobby. So the percentage of proposed constitutional amendments that actually get to be part of the Constitution is minuscule on a percentage basis. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an expert on this stuff. I just pretend to be one. I believe that there are two ways to pass a constitutional amendment. You can either pass it through Congress with what?
Two-thirds
of the House and two-thirds of the Senate. Signed. It doesn't have to be signed by the President, I don't
believe. Not to my knowledge.
And then it has to be approved by three-quarters of the legislatures of the existing states at that time.
Right.
But the other route is for three-quarters of the states to call for a constitutional...
Two-thirds
of the states to call, is it for a constitutional convention?
Yes.
And that's something nobody wants.
Some are pushing the constitutional convention avenue route.
But generally, that's considered a threat to make Congress act.
It depends on who you talk to.
Yes, it does
right,
depend
it
on
does.
Who you talk to.
Yes.
There are a lot of conservatives and a lot of liberals who are very fearful of a Democratic Democratic convention. Well, that too. But a constitutional convention, because they're really not quite sure how it might turn out. And I think we would all be kind of fearful. We could end up with a parliamentary system or a monarchy or who knows.
Well, keep in mind that whatever comes out of a convention would have to be ratified by three-quarters of the states. So probably nothing radical would be...
I'm glad you said that, because I find that rather a relief. In any case, let's get down to the topic at hand. Your group started essentially with the Citizens United case, where...
Actually, that's not true.
Okay.
Our group locally did, but Move to Amend National has actually... I don't know if they actually were a named group before then, but David Cobb and other people on the board have been working on a way to get rid of to abolish corporate personhood since before that.
When did the term corporate personhood come to be used? Because I had never really heard that until Citizens United. I mean, I knew corporations were legal entities, they were financial entities, they were business entities. I had never really heard of corporate personhood as a term. I understood they were fictional persons for the purposes of business and investment. But corporate personhood was a new term to me. When did that start coming into use then?
Well, corporations as having the rights of persons, and I'm not sure exactly the phrase corporate personhood, actually came out of the Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railway Supreme Court case back in the late 1800s, and it was actually an error of the clerk who wrote up the case that misinterpreted what had been ruled.
Lovely.
But it has been used as a precedent
right.
ever since.
Well,
right.
of course it has, because yes. punctuation matters.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, just look at the Second Amendment. Punctuation matters. So, Citizens United, what was the ruling there, and what was the impact that has now created the situation that we're in this country in terms of business and politics, money and politics, and money as speech?
Well, the central focus is the Citizens United, where the Supreme Court ruled three things, basically. One, that corporations are persons. Now, let me back up just a little bit. Corporations, as we now know them, have only existed in the last 100, 150 years. They have always had certain aspects of that people have. For example, they can sue and be sued. They can own property. they can pay taxes and so forth. So these are essential to the conduct of the existence of corporations to serve their purpose
as business entities.
Over the 100 years or so, 150 years, that has been enlarged, and it really hit the critical point when the Supreme Court says the corporations are persons, and therefore, here's the kicker, and therefore are protected by the First Amendment, a provision for free speech.
Now, was Citizens United the first time that had been made as a precedent?
To my knowledge, it's certainly the first time it had been made that explicit and clear. And then to add insult to injury, not only do they have the protection of free speech, they also ruled that money is speech. And therefore, they said, corporations can make unlimited monetary contributions to political campaigns anonymously.
Yeah, the anonymous part really just adds insult to injury.
And that brought the whole thing into focus. The issue now, in my view, and I think in the view of Move to Amend, is do corporations have the same protection under the Constitution as people, as citizens do, as people do? That's the issue. The contributions to political campaigns is, of course, a disaster for democracy in today's world, where campaigns cost millions and millions of dollars. Television and media of all kinds is very expensive, and therefore corporate money can dominate the campaign. And so we've lost our democracy. My $250 or my $50 contribution to this party or that party is insignificant when corporations have, in essence, unlimited amount of funds to influence elections.
Well, when you consider that to a politician, $50,000 is a big contribution, and a company might obtain millions of dollars in benefit from that, it's probably one of the best investments in the country.
That's the whole
Definitely.
Point.
By a politician,
a corporation,
great investment.
A corporation has to obtain a return on its expenditures. A citizen does not. I can vote against my own best interest if I think it's good public policy. A corporation cannot do that. Let me give you a simple example. I've got fairly good income. I am very strongly supportive of progressive income taxes. That's against my best interest.
It's in the national interest, but not yours.
But I think it's good public policy. A corporation can't do that.
Well, they can. They just don't. I mean, they could.
They could not
do
that.
If they said they wanted to be good corporate
they
citizens.
Cannot, no. They cannot do that. They would. The board of directors would be subject to suit by the shareholders for mismanagement.
Potentially.
Because the purpose of the corporation is to serve the shareholders, not the country.
I think it was the chairman of General Motors back in the late 1930s, who lost a lot of potential customers for General Motors, who was misquoted. The quote that has been remembered in the public mind is, "What's good for General Motors is good for the USA." And the actual quote in full was, "What's good for General Motors is good for the USA, and what's good for the USA is good for General Motors." But the first part was such great media, and that's what's remembered.
That was Injun Charlie, and I think it was in the late 40s.
Was it the late 40s?
I think so.
And then, of course, during the Second World War, there was the chairman of Montgomery Ward, who actually was carried out of, his office because he refused to obey the War Powers Act or something like that, having to do with price controls and a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of obstinate business people. Quick station ID, you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig at KPFT 90.1 FM. We're talking about Citizens United and the move to amend. I've got three people here from the Houston area Move to Amend, and movetoamend.com is the national organization. And
movetoamend.org.
I am sorry. You see, that's why I've got them here. Movetoamend.org. One word, movetoamend.org is the national organization. And then the Houston area chapter is a .net.
.net.
Which Houston MTA.
Houston area move to amend.
Houston area.
Is it Houston area
MTA? I think it's abbreviated. Yeah. Houston MTA.net. So if you want to become active in the group or look into what they're trying to do and what they stand for, that would be the place to go.
If I could mention a third organization, Texas-wide has a Move to Amend-related organization called Texans United to Amend.org. And this organization is made up of around 20 groups around the state, mostly in the large cities.
So it's an umbrella organization.
Yes, but we have conference calls periodically, and we work as a unit, a statewide unit. We'll be working when the legislature starts again in January. Then the TUTA, we call it Texans United to Amend, will start more activities as far as lobbying their legislators.
And not all members of TUTA are Move to Amend organizations. Isn't that correct? There are
correct.
Other organizations working on this issue.
But basically the same ultimate goal?
The same ultimate
right.
goal.
Right.
We will be taking calls in a couple of minutes. The phone number, if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. My guests are Ben Ball, and I lost my note. I hate when that happens. There it is. I'm looking down here. It's up there. Okay, my guests are Mike Badziak, Ben Ball, and Madeline Crozat-Williams. They're members of the Houston area Move to Amend. We were talking earlier before the show. There's a quote that I love, and it bears directly on this. And I've mentioned it on my show before from the series Reaper, comment by the devil. And he said, "Did you know, beginning in the late 19th century, corporations were granted all the rights of the individual, but none of the annoying responsibilities? They lack, almost by design, any kind of moral compass, conscience, or compassion. Basically, corporations are a way to enact sociopathic behavior on a grand scale. In short, they're what makes this country so damn great." I think the last two sentences are really the most interesting part of that statement, because I think that in a clinical way, they are a way of enacting sociopathic behavior, but a lot of people believe that is exactly what makes this country so damn great.
If I could make an interjection here.
Sure.
Move to Amend, and as far as I know, Houston area Move to Amend, we're not against corporations per se. Corporations are a necessary entity to do business in the world today. You can't do business without
well, they are what they are.
Right. What we have a problem with is the corporations interfering in elections and in our government, taking away rights that were originally designated to the people. Corporations are swamping government functions. They're so intertwined that this is the problem that have.
The Bill of Rights was for people, not corporations.
And even though corporations may not have existed at the time in their current form, you know, the Constitution also says that what is not granted to the federal government in the Constitution goes to the states. And that's kind of how we ended up where we are now. It's not defined one way or the other. They're not permitted. They're not forbidden. They're not defined. They're not regulated. They're not anything.
Was not the intent of the Founding Fathers, though. The intent of the Founding Fathers was to not give corporations
those rights. The Founding Fathers never conceived in their wildest dreams corporations as they exist today.
And
because
that's
they
why
didn't
we have constitutional
then.
Amendments.
But they did exist, and the states, the colonies were owned by corporations.
Those were the same word, but totally different structure and system.
Well, that's true, but my point, I haven't gotten my point. My point is it was that there was an inherent mistrust of corporations in the founding fathers because of that. The Tea Party was done, the Boston Tea Party was done against a corporation, the corporation that owned, that was importing all the tea at that time.
We have open lines, and we'll take questions and comments. The phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And we do have a caller. Gary, you're on the air. How you doing tonight?
Gary?
Hey, there you are.
Here I am.
Gary, how are you?
I'm good. I heard, I read recently that there was, in the beginning, when they were developing the Constitution, that they wanted a republic democracy to avoid this concept of the tyranny of the majority over the minority, so that there could be a minority and they wouldn't be squelched by the majority, and everybody had their freedom. So here's my question. Isn't the concept of corporations collaborating with government the very definition of fascism? I mean, we talk today about oligarchies and the 1% and all of this, but isn't when the corporations and the government, i.e. the House of Representatives, collaborating, isn't that the definition of fascism?
Of course it is.
That's my question.
There you go. You see, so we've settled that. You have to love a really succinct answer.
We have seen a Congress for several years now essentially do very, very little. But corporations are still getting government money. They're still getting their big grants, their allotment. That it's
corporate socialism.
Corporations, in many ways, really don't need a government anymore. A separate government, they can operate fine on their own the way things are.
As presciently predicted by Rollerball.
They can operate just fine in Northern Ireland.
Ben, you look thoughtful.
Well, I mean, look at the tax situation. The corporations, it was in the business section today. The corporations pay 35% tax, so now they're moving all their headquarters to Wales and Northern Ireland and France.
Well, they don't have any nationalism, Gary. You and I know that.
Well, we understand it. But corporations are American workers, so there seems to be a dichotomy here between corporations or people. Well, I used to work for a corporation, and I'm an American human, and now we have these corporations. I mean, are we people or are we not?
You were not the corporation. You were an employee of the corporation. That's a different thing.
Yeah, let's get back to basics. Corporations are created by the states. They're chartered by the states to do a job. Psychopath is a slightly emotionally laden word.
Well, that's why I used sociopath. That's why they use sociopath. Now, wait a second. Let me finish.
That is to say, they have no conscience. Their job is to accumulate capital and use it effectively for the benefit of their shareholders while obeying the law. And most corporations do that pretty well. But they have no, but their context is, we're going to do the best we can for our shareholders. Now, the whole premise of a democratic republic is that in the long range, the people, you know, the ones that bleed when they're cut.
And die.
The people.
And die.
Don't always act in their own best interest. It's a matter of context. The context of a citizen is to care for his country and for the future. And in the long range, that's what a democratic republic depends on. Corporations cannot do that. Their context is what's best for me and mine now.
And you made the comment earlier.
And when those people start getting political influence, we have lost forever our democratic republic.
And you made the comment earlier that essentially their fiduciary responsibility is to act as very focused sociopaths.
And so it's our job, the people's job, to constrain these psychopaths.
Well, I would like
Wait just a minute.
Oh,
so to constrain these psychopaths so that with laws so that they do act in the best interest of the people. The corporations are trying to act in their own best interest. We need to constrain them so that when they operate within those laws, they do make the country so great.
Gary, I'm going to give you up to a minute to respond, and then I'm going to have to move on.
I just want to say that you can compare corporations to ships at sea, and employees as the sailors that were thrown overboard and are now floating in the sea as the ship sails off, having been one of those people. Corporations don't care a damn about their employees, and that gentleman is absolutely correct. And if you don't justify your pay, they're going to toss you overboard. I'd rather be working on a pirate ship than for a corporation.
Okay. Thanks so much, Gary. I appreciate your call, as always. You have
Bye.
A good night. We have open lines. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, if you have questions or comments. I want to just talk briefly about that distinction without a difference of psychopaths versus sociopaths. I actually once did a little research on this, and what I found, I think the best way of describing it is that clinically there doesn't seem to be a distinction between psychopath and sociopath, although there used to be, but there really isn't, and it's just another personality disorder is sociopathy. But I think that the best lay distinction I found was that the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath is that a psychopath wants to kill you and a sociopath just doesn't care if they have to. That's a really subtle distinction, but, you know, 713-526-5738, questions or comments for Ben, Madeline, or Mike, or me, Mike. David, you're on the line. You're on the air, rather. How you doing tonight?
Fine.
What's
I guess,
on your mind?
My question is, everyone seems to know that corporations are bad, but what's the light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, it doesn't seem to really matter, all this protesting, you know, bitterness and anger, and nothing seems to change. It just keeps going on and on and on like a runaway train. When's it ever going to change? How can we change it?
Well, the first thing I would say is I don't think any of us are saying the corporations are bad. They're just not politically responsible people. They have a purpose.
They are mostly, I've worked with and for corporations all my life, which has been 65 years now. And they're mostly going to obey the law. The problem is the laws have been written recently by the corporation so that they can do what you and I call irresponsible acts, but they're legal. What we need to do is to constrain the corporations with legislation and legislation and regulation so that they behave responsibly because they're obeying the law. There are no bad law, bad corporations or good corporations.
Now,
they're bad laws and good laws.
Move to amend. And I think that brings us very nicely into, and your question as well, David, brings us into the central topic here, which is a constitutional amendment which addresses the hole in constitutional law regarding the document's intent regarding artificial persons. Now, there are actually like 32 different amendments, we were talking about this, that have been proposed over the last two Congresses, but there are three right now that seem to have the most buzz. There's the Udall Amendment, I got my notes here. I've got so many notes. Okay, the Nolan Amendment, the Udall Amendment, and the Tester Amendment. And they have little nuances of difference. The Udall Amendment, apparently there was a press conference yesterday that Nancy Pelosi held.
She basically didn't really say anything.
Really?
Yeah, I have a copy right here.
I was wondering
really didn't
why.
Say very
what was
much.
The second one?
The Tester, John Tester
yeah.
of
and Udall
Montana.
And what's the
Montana.
Other one?
and the Nolan Amendment. He's from Minnesota. The Nolan Amendment is actually the one that's on the Move to Amend site.
Correct.
And the Udall Amendment, the reason that Move to Amend seems to be against that is because it talks a lot about may regulate. It doesn't actually take an action. It allows an action.
It talks about the regulation of money in elections, which is one portion of the Move to Amend agenda, but it does not address specifically the corporation personhood aspect of the Move to Amend agenda.
Okay.
We feel that both of these items are necessary to address in order to...
Right, and there's also the concern by Move to Amend that if the Udall Amendment were to pass, which it very likely would not, it's really very unlikely with considering the Republican control of Congress right now that it will pass, but if it were to pass, then it would be very, very difficult after that for us to get the legislation we really need, which says that corporations do not have the rights of people. So for those reasons, Move to Amend is against it.
The Udall Amendment does have one good quality of amendments, which is to say that it's relatively succinct.
Congress, so is ours.
I agree. Congress shall have the power, and I think we need to discuss language a little bit. Congress shall have the power to regulate the raising and spending of money in kind equivalence with respect to federal elections, including, and then it goes on to amount of contributions, amount of expenditures to be made, and then it says the state shall have the power to regulate the raising and spending of money, and Congress shall have, and I'm abbreviating a little, and Congress shall have power to implement and enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
But the far more basic issue they totally ignore
is the corporate.
Do the Constitution guarantee rights to the corporations or not? That is the core issue. And if we don't get that fixed, nothing else matters.
The Tester resolution, which I think is the one that Move to Amend now is thinking, and David, I'm sorry, we've kind of just dropped you on this. Do you have anything you want to say, or shall we move on?
Just a question. Are there any CEOs of corporations or boards of directors who actually want to be regulated? It seems like the answer would be no. They just want to maximize profits, so they could be considered part of the problem, and they could be considered doing some evil deeds, you know.
They're not part of the problem as long as they're obeying the law.
And as long as the law deals appropriately with them.
What we need to do is to fix the law. The problem is not corporations. The problem is the Supreme Court. That's the problem.
Well, I'm going to go a little broader. I think, and by the way,
they're not calling out for change, though. That's the thing. They should get on their bully pulpits, get on all their corporate websites, and call for regulations.
Well,
why?
They're
making too much money, and they have too much power.
Well, that's my point. They only care about money. They don't care about doing the right thing. They don't care about changing the laws.
Let me make an observation here. Corporations are not inherently evil, just like government is not inherently evil, just like labor is not inherently evil, and you know, consumerism and all these other things. Everything has its own goals and objectives and desires, and the idea is for it all to play off in a dynamic tension that puts us in a place where everything sort of works well. I think when any one... And I talk about sometimes the tripod of power of labor, business, and government. And I think that the problem is when one of those three legs of the tripod becomes too powerful. And I think
definitely business is too powerful right now.
Business, I think, and I think that Madeline, Mike, and Ben will agree, business, I think, at this point has an edge, which is making things very difficult for this country as a democracy. But as I think Ben is constantly saying, corporations are not inherently evil. They have a goal. They have a purpose. And the idea is that the law has to deal with that appropriately so that they have their proper place in society.
To put this in a little perspective, I read recently that the Standard & Poor's 500 index is made up. The companies in this index receive 40 or 60% of their profits from overseas. So they are, in this country, considered people who are, can have the same rights as American citizens. Well, they are not beholden in any way, shape, or form to the American economy, since their money is not coming from this economy. It has shifted overseas.
They have their own purpose for existence. Quick station ID, you're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig, and my guests are Ben Ball, Madeline Crozat-Williams, and Mike, and I have to read it.
Badziak.
I'm terrible at that. This is just, if you listen to me, it's like, this is my Chris Hayes thing. That I, there are just things that I
As a little reminder, my last name is the opposite of Goodziak.
Okay, David, I appreciate your call. If you want to take a parting comment, I'll let you, and then we're going to move on.
Well, also, besides corporations, you know, everyone glorifies small business owners. There's a lot of small business owners that are terrible people, too. Just point that out.
Yeah, you know, people are people, and if corporations are people, they can be terrible. Thank you, David. I appreciate your call. We have open lines. The number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're talking about the move to amend the U.S. Constitution to better define whether speech is money and whether corporations should be treated as humans. I have three members here of the Houston area Move to Amend. You can learn a little bit more about the movement on the national level, movetoamend.org. Or you can look at the national site, HoustonMTA.net. And by the way, if you go to my website, thinkwingradio.com, for the show announcement today, I do have a number of links that you can just click on that will take you to a number of these different places. We have a caller. Is it Alan or Alon?
Oh.
Alon? Yes.
Alon, yes.
I thought so. How are you doing tonight, Alon?
Very good. I commend our panel with the work that they're doing, because this definitely needs to be done. I want to call a little bit of thought into the process, and I invite the listeners to grab a pencil, because I want to give a couple web addresses where they can do some research on their own.
Okay.
But basically, what I'm about to say is the system is the problem. We have a Congress that most of their time is spent working to raise campaign dollars. They spend more time on that than they do actually legislating. And I think the fix to this is to do away with that type of election system. And
you're talking about publicly funded elections.
Yes, I'm talking about publicly funded. I think that we could have a determine a common pool of money for the candidates, and whether you are a newcomer who is not a millionaire or a incumbent, most of those in Congress are millionaires, and therefore they don't share very much of the values of the majority of the people.
I actually believe that most members of Congress don't fully grasp exactly what middle income means.
I agree.
I think that because of their lifestyle and their pay scale, I really honestly believe that they honestly believe that middle income is like $100,000 a year. And when they see how much they and their family members struggle on $100,000 a year, that's, I think, what their reference point is.
So if we had a elections where in each campaign the candidates had an equal amount of money given to them at the beginning to spend as they please, whatever kind of media or advertising they want, but all kind of other donations that are not from human entities, in other words, individual taxpayers, whatever, corporations, and the special interest groups, lobbyists, whatever, would be prohibited as a criminal offense, you know. But to make the United States a true democracy, I think we're going to have to use that system of constitutional amendment that is allowed under Article 5, because we can't expect Congress to bite the hand that feeds it. It's going to be Gaston Alfonsi, you know, like, you go first. No, you go first. When it comes to candidates pledging that they're not going to take the special interests or PACs or anything else towards your campaign.
Okay, let me ask my guests here. Do any of you want to comment on the extent to which Move to Amend and the goals of Move to Amend somehow interconnect with publicly financed elections?
Well, I don't explicitly know, but it's the obvious alternative to very modest upper limits on campaign contributions.
The devil is always in the details, though.
Well, I'm not going to respond to that.
Okay.
But a lower limit by human beings who bleed and die, $100, $1,000, whatever it is certainly not is the answer. But that's going to have to be supplemented with publicly financed campaigns. Let me respond to one thing that Alon said. Traditionally, legislators, any public one running for public office, just has to spend a great deal of time seeking funding for their campaign.
It's almost their first order of business.
Maybe I'm just optimistic. I think a lot of them have fed up with that and would welcome publicly financed campaign. There are two states now that have it. At least two that I know of.
Which two states are those?
The trend is important. The trend is now, rather than the politicians seeking finance, the PACs, the super PACs, who have the money already, are willing to interview you if you want to run for office, like a guy trying to get a job.
Yeah.
And if you meet the criteria of the super PAC, then you got your funding. And that just scares the hell out of me.
Well, Nancy Pelosi yesterday in her press conference, interestingly enough, she was talking about reform of elections. And she said, thank you, Mr. Sarbanes, who I assume must be a representative who I had not heard of before, for the reform bill, government by the people legislation that empowers small donors. And I looked it up and read it. And basically, this man is proposing legislation that will allow individuals to donate $50 to a campaign. They get a voucher from the government, and then that voucher, somehow that money is used against their taxes that are owed, and it's given to a candidate. But this is the clincher. Candidates get to decide whether or not they want to take part in this.
Yeah, and that's problematic.
So if we got a candidate who's getting $1 million from Exxon, why in the world would he opt to say, okay, well, I won't compete with the other guy who's getting $1 million from Exxon. I'm just going to be happy with the $50 that everybody who wants to give me $50 gives me. So it's, you know, I think we're a long way from that. And you know, to get back what you said, Alon, and thank you for calling in. I think that in some respects you're right that an Article 5 convention may be the only way we'll ever get there. Wolfpack is the group that wants the Article 5 convention. Move to Amend's position on an Article 5 convention is that they will go either route it takes. Yeah. That they would hope that taking it through Congress would put enough pressure on Congress to avoid an Article 5 convention and pass this amendment that this Move to Amend legislation, but if they can't get it that way, they also look at the possibility that they may have to go to an Article 5 convention. And they also see this whole thing as an endeavor that isn't going to happen in 2 or 3 years. They're actually projecting it's going to take quite a few years to do this.
Thank you for your comments. I want to finish up on that. I feel it's illegal, immoral, whatever you want to say.
There's a big difference.
We are voting by dollars before we have the election. And so I want to rule that out altogether.
Oh, yes,
and have
right.
A system in which, like I said, the pool of money is shared by the candidates equally, and it's done through taxation. In other words, the voters don't have any input into how much money each candidate gets. That's part of changing the system.
Right,
but the other thing is I want to give a couple web addresses for the listeners.
Yeah, let's be quick on that, and then we'll move on.
So, first one is to look at a true democracy, because the United States
I'm going to let you do the web addresses, but I think we need to wrap this up.
It's admin, that's admin dot ch slash ch slash e as in English slash rs slash one slash
you know my hey, hey whoop 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 hold it
I think
your best bet here is the name of the group. Hold on, Alon, the name of the group, and let people search it, because that web address is just not going to work.
The other web address is much more simple. It's democracy amendment USA.net. And that way we could make the United States a true democracy and not a republic. So research that and see what you say. democracyamendmentusa.net.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Alon.
Yeah, one thing I'm unclear about in the public funding of elections is that if this comes to pass through legislation, either congressional or through the states, what would stop the Supreme Court from declaring this unconstitutional? Because they have said that money is speech, and unlimited money is okay. So if this is the case, then I would think the amendment to the Constitution would have to come before any other financing.
So in other words, the question of public financing now might actually have been, at least for the time being, neutralized by the Citizen United.
I'm questioning
ruling.
If this may be the
case.
That's
interesting. If we have a lawyer out there, I would love to hear you call. Quick station ID, you're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig. I've got members of Move to Amend, Mike Badziak, Ben Ball, and Madeline Crozet Williams, all members of the local chapter of Move to Amend. You can go to my website, thinkwingradio.com, and I've got links to the national site, the local site, and some other information about various amendments and such that are relating to this corporate personhood and money as speech. And the number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, if you have any questions or comments for me or the guests. That's a really interesting point, though, about has Citizen United neutered the possibility of publicly funded elections for the time being?
And the Move to Amend amendment, one of the two parts says that money in elections can be regulated. It doesn't specify how. So how may come after it can be regulated.
Do you have the current language of the – I think the amendment that on the website is favored right now
– Here it is. Right
is
here.
The Nolan Amendment. Okay, we the people.
Yeah.
This is the Nolan Amendment. And it says artificial entities established by the laws of any state, the United States, or any foreign state shall have no rights under the Constitution and are subject to regulation by the people – through federal, state, or local law. The privileges of artificial entities shall be determined by the people through federal, state, or local law and shall not be construed to be inherent or inalienable. That's Section 1.
It's in Section 2.
Section 2 says federal, state, and local government shall regulate, limit, or prohibit contributions and expenditures, including a candidate's own contributions and expenditures, so not self-financing by billionaires, to ensure that all citizens, regardless of their economic status, have access to the political process and that no person gains, as a result of their money, substantially more access or ability to influence in any way the election of any candidate for public office or any ballot measure. Federal, state, and local government shall require any permissible contributions and expenditures be publicly disclosed. The judiciary shall not construe the spending of money to influence elections to be speech under the First Amendment. That's the Nolan Amendment in its entirety.
And it's written so that even those five justices of the Supreme Court can understand it.
Now, I did contact Congressman Nolan's office, and my impression is that right now there isn't a big push from him to move this forward, that right now he's concentrating on his local issues, his constituent issues. So the question is, where are we in terms of movement toward an amendment that might actually get through Congress? Or are we looking at what I've learned from you folks is basically an Article 5 solution where the initiative is taken by the states forcing the hand of Congress?
Move to amend has monthly conference calls. Last night was the last call, and there were, I think, about 100 groups around the country on this conference call. And the move to amend sponsors were talking about an amendment that John Tester has written now. John Tester is a senator from Montana, and his amendment deals now only with the corporate personhood issue. So the feeling I get, the word I get from move to amend people is that they are interested in working. I haven't read Tester's amendment, but they are interested in working with Tester to add on the money is speech issue to this, or expand this, and then submit this next session of Congress.
Well, there are also several states that have passed a resolution asking for this for Congress to pass such an amendment. How many states is it?
Right, 16
now?
States.
16.
Now, can they request a specific amendment, or do they request a constitutional convention in order to have action on an amendment?
These 16 states are passing resolutions, asking.
Right.
They have
asking
no
Congress,
they have no power,
okay.
But they are asking Congress to initiate write the amendment and send it to the states.
Now, there is, though, an alternative where the states can actually pass legislation calling for a constitutional convention if they feel Congress
yes,
is not responding.
The states can call for
almost nobody wants that.
A convention bypassing Congress.
Right.
Well, there are some people.
You said twice
that.
Now nobody wants that.
I said almost nobody wants
yeah.
it. Almost nobody
move
wants it.
Move to amend is very clear. We'll go any way that
right.
works.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be not nobody, but almost nobody.
Yeah, and there are other groups as well.
But I think the majority of people, including me, are really, really fearful of a whole new constitutional convention. Now, Mike made the point about, well, it would have to be ratified by the states, and it would have to get through Congress. And, yeah, there are a lot of hurdles to get over, but I think a lot of people are very fearful of, especially in the political climate we have now, which is so contentious, all of a sudden, let's have a constitutional convention where literally everything is up for grabs.
Let's be clear. We're in crisis. We need to push all the buttons, hoping one of them will work, because if we don't get corporation personhood ended, and if we don't get big money out of politics, our country's gone. The country that I love is over.
I agree with that.
We need to put no restrictions on. We want to do everything we can legally do to get that to happen, because if we don't, we're going to lose everything.
But I think there's also the question of whether it's the equivalent of someone putting a gun to his head and telling the police, don't move or I'll shoot.
Well,
no, that's
an Article
not
5
valid.
Convention. Is that what you're drawing that?
I think that calling a constitutional convention could be almost the equivalent of putting a gun to our own heads and threatening to shoot.
Heard people
absolutely
lecture
not.
On this that's in
true.
Depth. No, definitely
that many
not.
States
no.
have used the convention route to amend their state constitutions.
Yeah, but we're not talking about state constitutions.
Right. Still,
state constitutions are still at the mercy of the federal government.
Anything that comes out of a constitutional Article 5 convention will have to be passed by 3/4 of the states.
Right. You said
now,
that.
even if it does cover Topic A and Topic B, and it's good enough that 3/4 of the states, it's broad enough, it's accepted enough by the majority of people in this country, I say fine.
Yeah. We need to be clear here. The three of us who are representing Move to Amend at your invitation
yes.
are presenting the position that we will do anything legal to get corporate personhood eradicated and to get money, not speech. That's clear.
Yeah,
in that connection, I want to say that there's something everybody can do. Tonight, this is I've been spent most of my life avoiding grassroots movements because they don't work. This has got to work because we don't have any corporate funding. Surprise, surprise. This has got to come from the people, from the individuals. So what you must do, every person must do, go to movetoamend.org, sign the petition, and spread the word to everybody you know. I've got a Move to Amend button that I wear on my shirt. I wear it on everything except my pajamas. You'd be surprised how many conversations it starts. And I've got a one-minute answer. Move to amend what? The people, the media doesn't discuss this for obvious reasons. The media is owned by the big corporations.
Concentrated.
It's got to be the people. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to your enemies. Talk to your friends. Talk to everybody. This has got to be person to person, or we won't work because we're not going to get publicity and we're not going to get big contributions.
Madeline, I want to give you a chance to talk about ALEC. I know that that's very important to you, and there's an activity that's coming up. And the whole question of ALEC, the American Legislative
Exchange Committee,
also relates to this question of money as speech,
yes,
and political organizations.
Yes, so, ALEC and the Koch brothers are interrelated, interconnected, but basically I'll talk about ALEC. The America, because these are funded by big money that go to your politicians. American Legislative Exchange Committee is a group that was founded in 1973. It consists of about 23 major corporations that are on a committee which writes model legislation, which is given to legislators in different states, including, of course, Texas. There are legislators who are also members of ALEC. They work with the corporations in drafting the model legislation. They then take the model legislation that ALEC writes, add their own, give it a little twist so it doesn't sound exactly like the ALEC legislation. I'm adding.
Why don't you give a couple of quick examples of just the kinds of favors that ALEC has legislatively done for this country?
In terms of legislation?
In terms of legislation based on their work.
The big one was Stand Your Ground legislation, which, of course, led to the shooting of Trayvon Martin and made ALEC very unpopular. Another one was the wonderful legislation against women's health care that went through the Texas legislature last summer and led to Wendy Davis's.
Why don't we give a web address and then I'll sign off for the night.
Just, if you're interested, there's a convention in ALEC in Dallas which will take place on the 30th and 31st of July. If you are interested in going to attend the protest at this convention, email me. And my email is...
Go ahead.
Magicas, M-A-G-I-C-A-S, @...
Or you can take the easy... I'm sorry. You can take the easy route and go to my website where I actually have the link to this.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah,
we'll
that's easier. Yeah, ThinkWingRadio.com. Go to the announcement for today's show. I've got a bunch of links, including about the ALEC... I'm sorry?
That link's not active yet. I went to it
today. Oh, well, that's not good. Well, but your link is also on the site. Anyhow... Thank you for listening, and remember, if your vote didn't count, they wouldn't be trying so hard to suppress it. Have a great week. I'll speak to you next Wednesday night.
Kids today spend a lot of time indoors and inactive in front of screens. You can rediscover the great outdoors and connect with nature through the Get to Know contest. Whether your inspiration comes from visiting a national park, a zoo or aquarium, or just your own backyard, share your outdoor experience through art for a chance to win. Enter by November 1st at gettoknow.ca. That's gettoknow.ca. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. Find us online at kpft.org.
or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up. And each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpft Houston.